A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. Today, we'll look ahead to O18, the second annual fall festival launched by Opera Philadelphia. One of the featured premieres tells the story of two older women adjusting to their new reality of facing Alzheimer's. And I'll speak with composer Lembit Beecher and mezzo-sopranos Federico von Stada and Marietta Simpson, who star in the production. I'll also chat with Opera Philadelphia General Director David Devan about other highlights of this year's festival. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Here she is, Miss America, and this year's crown winner plans to spend her year in the spotlight focusing on arts education. Miss New York, Nia Imani Franklin, earned her master's in music composition from the University of North Carolina School of the Arts and says on her online biography that the pageant empowered her to champion access to quality arts education for all children. In 2017, she received a Keenan Fellowship at Lincoln Center, which helps prepare future arts educators. In other awards news, Gramophone bestowed its Orchestra of the Year award on the Seattle Symphony, the first time its awards have included a category based on public voting. Artist of the Year went to violinist Rachel Podger, and an Arado recording of Berlioz's Les Troyens by the Strasbourg Philharmonic featuring Joyce DiDonato won Recording of the Year. Gramophone also presented a Lifetime Achievement Award to conductor Nimi Yervi, whose career included music director positions at the Detroit Symphony Orchestra and the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. Those are just some of the news headlines this week from around the arts world. Opera Philadelphia's annual fall festival, O18, opens this coming week, continuing the opera company's mission of creating new works and exploring new operatic forms, themes, and venues alongside more traditional productions. Included throughout the 11 days are performances of Lucia de Lammermoor at the Academy of Music and a now sold-out world premiere of Glass Handel by countertenor Anthony Roth Costanzo, which brings together the music of Handel and Philip Glass in an operatic art installation at the Barnes Foundation. The centerpiece of the festival, premiering on opening night, September 20th, is Sky on Swings, an opera by composer Lembit Beecher and librettist Hannah Moscovich. The work explores the themes of aging and Alzheimer's and features mezzo-sopranos Federica von Stada and Marietta Simpson in the leading roles. I sat down with Simpson and von Stada recently, together with Beecher, to talk about the ways the opera explores this very relevant and modern-day story. Beecher said the idea grew out of a scene he first workshopped with Opera Philadelphia several years ago as composer in residence.
The scene didn't turn out very well, but it was amazing seeing everyone in the room for the workshop react to it and how everyone had this immediate piece of themselves that they wanted to add to the story, that they could relate to it, you know, whether it was they'd had a relative or a loved one who had the disease or someone a little farther away from them. It was in everyone's life to some degree, and it's not something I had talked to these people about. It seemed like we were pulling this bit out of everyone that was there already. I think the two other things is a naturally dramatic topic. It brings out our deepest and strongest emotions. And then maybe the third thing is that it felt like it was a chance to explore a different side of the human voice. It feels like it's a story about the relationship of the inner feeling to the outer, and that's something that opera does well naturally. It was a chance, which I was really excited about writing for older singers and trying to take advantage of these great artists and what their voices can do now and try to find all these many layers of expression and meaning in the voices.
What were some of the ways then that you approached it musically?
Well, Felipe and Marietta will know that I met with both of them early in the process, and we tried out a whole bunch of different types of vocal techniques. I think especially with Marietta, since her character, Martha, is more progressed in the disease. So I had her doing little figures, like these little sort of types of gestures that I think some Alzheimer's patients gravitate towards, especially as they're losing the ability to speak. Vocalizations or rhyming or musical gestures become a large part of their communicative vocabulary. Different mumbling passages, mm-hmm. also things that try to blur language as much as possible.
Marietta, what was that process like?
It was fascinating. The process is fascinating. How do you communicate when words aren't available, and are you still able to communicate through sounds? And it is completely possible. I had a brother who had a stroke, and so he didn't have the ability to communicate with words, and yet his wife still communicated with him through other means. And so how is that possible for people to do? To explore that in music, the possibilities of a more those types of sounds, to explore that in music. Fascinating process.
Yeah, and I think plus the disjointed parts of it too, of a little bit of a word and then a little more of the word and then the same recurring words in a row many, many, many times. You know, I keep coming back to the childlike part of it, that, you know, that's how kids communicate. They say things 20 times, trying to get their point, practicing their words also. So it's interesting to be at the other end of the spectrum.
And as you worked through the music, then what were some of the challenges that you had, both musically and just conceptually?
I think the challenges are, for me, it's always rhythm. You know, rhythm is just out the door with my old brain. One of the most striking things is that the contrast of the disjointedness and then the incredible, sensuous softness of both the images and the words and the music that sort of are juxtaposed, but so I think develop through the piece.
Absolutely. And yeah. Also, I think it's difficult to capture the frustration of a person who is losing touch with reality as it exists for other people. Yet you have to, as a person who's not losing reality, capture that. And how do you remember those patterns when no obvious pattern exists?
Yeah.
That's difficult. And also, for me, who's an extremely sensitive person, to try to get to the place where I can convey the emotion without experiencing the emotion. Mm-hmm. And that's really very difficult for me. Because if I do, then I lose that detachment that will enable me to remember the patterns that I need to remember. Because telling this story is very difficult without entering into the emotional life of this person.
Yeah.
So that is extremely challenging.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And also, I think when you do go into it, which you tend to, then you don't deliver it.
Right.
You're keeping it for yourself.
Right.
You're not sort of throwing it out there.
Right.
And we're here to
throw it out. Yeah.
You're certainly creating these roles for the first time. What is it like, and how are you working to embody and really create these characters?
I think the work has been done for us by Lembit. I really do.
Yeah.
The way he's written it and the clarity and a fabulous libretto.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, the combination of reality and poetry and imagery, and I think it's just
the synergy between the music, the libretto, and then the stage direction.
Right.
The fact that the artistic team has worked so well together from the beginning through the workshops, they've been in conversations with each other throughout this whole process has made a huge difference, yeah. I think.
I agree. It's felt very protected,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, as being the singers. Very taken care of,
mm-hmm.
nurtured.
What has it been like to see then these characters, these scenes come alive?
I don't know if I've seen them yet. We're at a stage in the rehearsal process where everything is, there's both discovery but there's and correction.
Right.
And there's so much work on the individual moments that I haven't sat back and tried to see
right.
the whole yet.
Right.
So maybe in another week or 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I turn over a couple times and Hannah, the librettist, had been sitting there and you just see waters are growing in her eyes and
yeah.
you feel and you realize how touching it was what you just saw, but because I was focused on the second beat of the fourth
right,
measure.
And is
right.
tuning and everything, mm-hmm. yeah.
And it's a very funny experience to be in, to have had a hand in writing this and then not be connecting in some way. but I think that'll change as the process goes on. I do think it's a piece that will have, for the audience members, their reactions will be very varied. I think some people, it'll hit very close to home and incredibly strongly. I think some people, and many people will probably see it as a dark piece of a tragedy. I think
right.
some people may feel it's more, it's not uplifting, it's there's a release in it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sense of joy and love that's
yeah.
deeply in the piece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be curious to see what people think.
Well, take us through the plot or some of the basics that develop as the scenes progress.
It's focused around two characters, Martha and Danny, who are both at different stages of Alzheimer's disease. Martha is more progressed, and Danny is just beginning to... She just realizes that she has Alzheimer's in the second scene.
Yeah.
They each have children, so we see a little of their interaction with their children. But then it's really about their relationship when they meet each other in the facility where they're...
And how they relate to each
mm-hmm.
other is not typical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may be typical for people who have dementia or Alzheimer's, but it's not anything that you would think of when
right.
you think of a relationship.
It's not the operatic moment.
It's not the operatic.
I saw her picture. I fell in love.
Right.
It's not.
I have it around my neck. No.
Yeah, right.
It's not. Yeah, it's not at all that. But it's equally intense.
Yeah.
And again, with Joanna's exploring, our wonderful directress,
mm-hmm.
sort of the childlikeness, the playfulness, more than even childlike, the
mm-hmm.
playfulness of it.
As you touched on, this is very different from at least classical, traditional opera and what you might consider. How well has this then fit opera? How well does opera really bring this alive?
Very much.
Very much.
Yes. I think it hits at the very core of what opera does, which is tell the human story
through music.
Through music,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And it gives it a certain safety
mm-hmm.
to look at huge subjects, big
mm-hmm.
subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a wonderful excitement in the fact that there are subjects that are very pertinent to our day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
is a huge worry, trouble, you know, it's in the back of everybody's mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, of a certain age, but even, you know, it affects their kids and
mm-hmm.
the caregiving. And so what better place to explore it than through music and word.
And in the safety of a concert hall.
Right.
And in a hall, not
yeah.
in your home.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did that bring with it any additional sense of obligation or responsibility in terms of thinking of it in terms of that importance or that level?
I think there was a little bit of a worry that people, you worry that when you're showing something as personal as Alzheimer's and caring for someone who has dementia, that someone would come in and say, well, that's not the way it is. You have
right.
that experience
mm-hmm,
with
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that for one reason, it's why I really wanted to have two characters with Alzheimer's and have that about the piece about
mm.
their relationship. It's not about the caregiving. It's not about, even though we see their children and how they're affected.
Right.
But it's not about the doctors, it's not, nor the nurses. It's about that experience of the disease, which is something that's we can guess at, but we don't know.
Right.
But I think the other big thing is that it's just, it's clear. And I remember I was talking to a caregiver who just told me, her line was that once you've seen one case of Alzheimer's, you've seen one case of Alzheimer's.
No common denominator, yeah.
That for this piece, we knew we had to just try to tell a story of these characters, and it might match some people's experience. It might might be very dissimilar from other people's experiences.
One other notable aspect of this is that it does provide, the two leads are older women, and those obviously are maybe isolated leads here, or not isolated characters, but certainly not leads. What opportunities does that provide you as performers?
Wonderful.
Great.
Just great. First of all, just to be invited is already like, oh, I'm going to dance.
Exactly.
That's incredible joy.
Yeah.
There's a honor in it, and there's a, a joy of being asked to create something so so special.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel it's like so lucky.
Exactly. Yeah. It's winning the lottery.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It
really is.
Yeah.
Well, that's a question we're seeing. It's been raised now for quite some time in Hollywood, and
mm-hmm.
we are now starting to... We've been seeing some movies coming out with wonderful... Mature, older, however
yeah.
you want to
yeah,
phrase
right,
it, Cass.
Right.
Yeah.
What opportunities do you think there are to take an example like this, maybe not necessarily topically, but just in general, of providing roles for opera singers as they reach this point in their career?
Well, I mean, there are plenty of opportunities because the more you tell different stories, you need different people to play them.
Right.
You know,
and you feel very differently about things
yes.
at an advanced age than you do in your 30s and 40s. I mean, completely different in wonderful ways, not negative ways at all. But you are looking at the end.
Right.
We don't know when it's going to be, and but it's your thinking goes there. And as people start to get up and give you their seat on the bus.
we talk about this.
We think that has some pluses, but it's sort of like, I can't look that old. But those are the things that you do. That's what it is. That's what you're going through.
Right.
And I think, you were saying in Hollywood that they're starting to honor older women. And darn right, that's great. I mean, because with men, it's been for years.
Right.
But seeing women who've been great beauties, it's very... You see what the burden sometimes of their beauty is when they mature. And they are championing it rather than denying it or disguising it. And I think it's great.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know that the teeny boppers are going to go to those movies, but, we'll go.
Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
as a composer, how do you see that as an opportunity?
Oh, it seems really refreshing. I mean, not to be writing, I use this line in another interview, but about the relationship between a 25-year-old man and a 16-year-old girl, which seems like half of opera is about.
Yes.
I mean, there's some drama in that.
Yeah.
But it's actually not that interesting a topic. I mean, I feel like there are so many people who have more interesting characters that have more interesting things to say. I think the other thing I would say specifically about this piece, and I really credit Joanna Settle, the director, for this, that from the beginning it was really important to her that this is not a piece that's looking back, that it's not about the old drapes and your grandmother's living room and all those things that feel sort of weighted with a certain type of nostalgia and oldness. In some way, in fact, because of these two characters, because of the disease, they are living a bit more in the present and looking forward, and it's a piece that's about a new relationship. And in fact, it feels more forward-looking in some ways than other pieces that I've worked on, which are more about memory and about searching in your past.
Right, and see what's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another element is the I guess more broadly, the health and wellness topic. We're seeing now so many ways in which music musicians are seeing what they can do for broader reach of how can we reach people, you know, if it's in the hospital or, you know, bring music into wellness and health and well-being. What are some ways that you do see as health and wellness is becoming such a big part of our overall cultural consciousness? What opportunities do you see that opening up then and topics that we might see explored on the opera stage or on the concert stage?
Well, it's a very exciting time in opera because that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't the 950th Carmen, although those have their value too, and that's that's one of the strengths of this company. Mm-hmm. Is to make that exploration and to not have all the spaces predictable in which it's performed. Mm-hmm. I saw Limbitt's fabulous piece that he did here in the Philadelphia Museum, and it was one of the best experiences. You know, and in the beginning, I thought, oh dear, I don't think I'm going to get this. And in 5 minutes, I was sort of completely in another place. Mm-hmm. Both musically and visually, and it was fantastic, you know. And I think that's what's exciting about now. Limbitt is stressed, and I agree with him, that it's not a scientifically accurate. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. And Joanna made that clear too. You know?
Yeah.
It's not. People are, as you say, they're going to say, "Well, that's not how it is. That's ridiculous," you know.
But, you know, the daughter of the regiment is not about the army, you know, so...
Yeah.
No. Any more than Carmen is about smoking, so, you know...
Well said. It's not about the army. It's true.
But I think the whole point of it is that you're trying to get to deeper truths.
Yeah.
You're trying to
get to
character.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're, in this case, trying to understand... what it would be like to, and look at the experience of someone with Alzheimer's with as much empathy and humanity as possible. And I think with any opera topic, you hope that it, wherever opera goes, that it becomes a deep exploration of character, of human experience.
Right.
I think there is a danger for operas to become issue-focused, that, okay, we're going to have an Alzheimer's opera, a PTSD opera, an obesity opera.
Yeah. Right.
And they'll only work insofar as they're showing, they're sensitively getting in the minds of characters and showing how they're interacting with the world and hopefully putting us all back in touch with the reality that we live
it's
in.
Exactly.
It's a story.
Yes.
That was my conversation with mezzo-sopranos Frederica von Stade and Marietta Simpson and composer Limbitt Beecher. Von Stade and Simpson portray the leading roles in the premiere of Beecher's opera Sky on Swings, which opens Opera Philadelphia's 018 Festival on September 20th at the Kimmel Center's Perelman Theater. David Devan is Opera Philadelphia's general director, and I spoke with him about these productions and the vision of the O Festivals.
018 and the festival that preceded it, 017, has really secured Opera Philadelphia's leadership position in the industry. For two reasons. One, the way that we have packaged and are presenting these works is new and is connecting with a new audience base, so everyone's paying attention to that. And then also our embrace of an artistic journey in asking the question, what could the future of opera look like? And that has solidified our leadership position in being a future-forward-looking artistic institution that is very artist-centered.
In another publication, you referred to the concept of becoming the, quote, HBO of opera. Tell us a little bit more about what you mean by that.
HBO really, when it started out, tried to redefine or help further define television. And it offered not only a new way to consume it through cable, but it also actually changed the genre in terms of what was actually on the TV. And so for us to be the HBO of opera, which is an intention, and I think we're achieving it now, is to do exactly that, to produce work in a way that is consistent with 21st century consumers' desires and practices of consumption, and also for us to further define and expand what going to the opera can look and feel like.
Well, this year's lineup is extremely diverse in terms of, as you said, both subject matter and presentation approaches. Looking specifically at Sky on Swings, for example, it's a very powerful story, very relevant story. What has it been like watching this come through the process and now come to life on stage?
Everybody in our career, no matter what we do, whether you're building cars or producing opera, you know, you always have those moments in your career that are very special, and Sky on Swings is one of them for me, and I think for the artists involved in it, because it's really been in development over 6 years. The composer, Lembit Beecher, was our first composer in residence and spent 3 years in residence with us, basically further developing his craft for writing opera. And this idea of exploring memory as an idea that was ripe for musical exploration, along with sort of the virtuosity of opera performance, is something that started quite some time ago. And then to just watch it organically morph into Sky on Swings has just been a complete pleasure, because it's been completely artist-centered. And there were residencies. We put them in touch with devised theater companies. We put them in touch with the Alzheimer's Association. He talked to us about librettist choices. And it just, every step of the way, it's been a journey to get to this point. And then to see it just realized is fantastic.
What do you see the audience walking away with? Or I should even say, what various things do you see the audience walking away with?
This piece is not a docudrama on Alzheimer's. It's about two women and their memories, and in cases of memory loss, but also the possibility for beauty and actually deeper memory. So I think people will wrestle with the two contours of loss and beauty. And I think everybody will have their own sort of balance on that. And that was an intention to the piece, that, you know, opera traditionally, and I think currently, you know, has a great impact when there's sorrow involved, because I think the human voice has a great way of embodying that. But we didn't want it to be just loss and sorrow, that we wanted there to be beauty and dignity, and we wanted it to be from the patient's perspective, not the family and the loss that family feels. And in that way, make this not just a commentary on a really vitally important health issue in our world today, but to make it a piece of art. And so for that, I think, as you suggest, people will have a multitude of different reactions, as they always do to a great art.
That was David Devan, General Director of Opera Philadelphia. The O18 Festival will also feature an Opera on the Mall broadcast of last year's O17 production of We Shall Not Be Moved, which explored the 1985 police bombing of the MOVE compound in West Philadelphia through the eyes of modern-day teens. You can find a full list of O18 performances at operaphila.org. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.